A big global oil meeting in Vienna this morning. We've got the latest and why Google is facing a lawsuit on behalf of 5 million Brits. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. In Vienna, OPEC oil producers and several other countries are deciding whether or not to keep production low past March. The idea is to push oil prices higher. Herman Wang is an OPEC expert at S&P Global Platts.
So they have this production cut agreement. It's 1.8 million barrels per day spread out between the 14 OPEC members and 10 non-OPEC members led by Russia. And the aim of this deal is to bring down oil in storage down to the five-year average. There's a glut of oil that's being held in storage around the world right now, and it's depressing prices. So they want to encourage that oil to come out of storage by cutting their production supply. And they've been fairly successful at it so far, but there's still a ways to go. And that's why some ministers are talking about wanting to extend this production deal past March to continue this market rebalancing effort and keep it on pace. There appears to be a consensus that the deal needs to be extended through the end of 2018. At least that's what the Saudi energy minister has expressed this morning. OPEC will meet again in June. And so any deal to extend this deal past March is always going to be subject to review at the next OPEC meeting anyway.
Herman Wang, let's do the numbers. Markets in Asia and Europe are down. Shanghai's main index closed down 47 points, or 1%. In London, the FTSE is down 11 points, or 0.2%. Bitcoin rallied after yesterday's wild swing, which saw it go as low as $9,000. Now, Google has already paid millions in the U.S. for bypassing security settings on Apple's Safari browser. Now it's facing mass legal action in the U.K. A British campaign group says Google unlawfully collected information from millions of iPhone users. Here's the BBC's Rory Ketlin-Jones.
Well, this is very unusual in the UK, this kind of class action lawsuit. It's being taken on behalf of 5.5 million UK users of the iPhone. And the allegation is, and it's been heard often before, that back in 2011 and 2012, Google managed to bypass the privacy settings in the Safari browser on the iPhone to allow cookies, those little bits of software that track your activity across the internet, to be placed there, when the default settings meant that cookies couldn't be placed there and users were more private. And it alleges that those people's privacy has been invaded and they need recompense.
What was the data then used for?
Well, what they were doing was inserting these cookies and using them, obviously, in their advertising business, because that's what cookies are about. They're about tracking you across the internet so that you can be served appropriate adverts.
What does Google say?
Google told the BBC, this is not new. We have defended similar cases before. We don't believe it has any merit and we will contest it. And yes, they have already paid a $22 million fine after a case brought by the US Federal Trade Commission. They've also settled out of court with a small number of British consumers already. But this is a sort of mass action on behalf of nearly 5.5 million.
Rory Ketlin-Jones. Now, how does a country recover economically after dictatorship? The tiny West African country of the Gambia is a good case study. President Yahya Jammeh ruled for 22 years. 10 months after a general election brought change, all eyes are on tourism to boost the country's stunted economy, as the BBC's Marie Keyworth reports.
If you're the only person strolling along one of the Gambia's wide sandy beaches, it's not long before you get spotted.
Hello, champion lady.
Hello.
How are you?
Abdul, or planter as he's known, has come striding along the sand to tell me about his fresh fruit stall.
This is what I'm doing here.
He's come from inland or upriver to try and make a living from the tourists on the coast.
My mom, my dad, they're all farmers and I do farming as well. Living is very difficult.
Tourism contributed over 20% to the Gambia's GDP last year.
Good afternoon and welcome to Ocean Bay Hotel.
Maimouna Jouf is a receptionist at the Ocean Bay Hotel. She's one of the 55,000 Gambians directly employed in tourism.
Yes, I did a course at the Gambia Tourism and Hospitality Institute. I learned about the check-in procedures, accounting and cashiering.
How much do people you know also rely on tourism?
A lot of people, because the class I was in 2015, we were about 48 of us. And all of us were being posted to hotels.
Outside the beaches and hotels are the thousands of indirect jobs created by tourism.
The fermentation
at Banjul Breweries, the Gambia's only drinks manufacturer, Lamine Fofana shows me where they make their signature lager, Jewel Brew. But Lamine himself has never tried it.
The head of the department is a Christian. He tastes the beer. We are producing soft drink and alcohol. So the Muslims, they will be drinking the soft drink. The Christians will be tasting the beer and so forth. That's how we are working.
In a mainly Muslim country, where alcohol is seldom drunk by the locals, having a market of tourists to sell to is essential. Fatou Sinyan Mbergen is Secretary General of the company.
We are very optimistic about the upcoming tourist season.
When the brewery does well, it's not just the 125 employees who benefit. The economic boost is felt by another 70 wholesalers and beyond.
These wholesalers, some of them, they employ 3, 4, 5 people. So we are creating a lot of jobs.
So more money in people's pockets, which they'll hopefully end up spending on your drinks.
Absolutely. Why not? That's the bottom line.
Marie Keyworth reporting there. Finally, some Confucian capitalism for you. South Korea's happiness fund will wipe the debts of as many as 1.6 million people struggling to repay loans of less than $10,000. In London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.